Well, hello everybody. This is Mike and Abinant bringing you our Sunday school lesson on Proverbs chapter 3, verses 21 through 35. And let's start with a word of prayer as we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Lord, we thank you that you have brought us through yet another night, bringing us into the light of your day. Lord, we just give you all the praise and glory, for you are the great creator, the King of kings and Lord of lords. And Lord, we just give you all the praise that you so richly deserve. Lord, as we enter into this time of study, Lord, open our eyes and our hearts to your word, to your truth, and your truth alone. And we ask these things in Christ Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Okay, so as we look at this, as we go into a little bit of an introduction, Solomon, of course, as a parent, wanted his son to be happy. Thus, he urged him to seek wisdom. And wisdom, of course, produces joy, blessed, and pleasant are some things that we use to describe the wise person. Wisdom is something that is acquired, pursued, embraced, and practiced. The wisdom that comes from God is more important than personal opinions or preferences. Joy is the outcome of the person who values and seeks godly wisdom. True wisdom is grounded in the person and character of God. Outside of all space and time, our wise, holy, all-powerful God existed. Wisdom from God enables a person to have a clear conscience, and God-centered wisdom that Solomon gave his son and us instructs us how to fairly and rightly treat others. And, of course, as in the days in which we live, that's pretty important stuff. Now, before we get into the text, I wanted to just bring to your attention a second some pretty profound things that happened this week. And again, you have to, one of the things I always encourage is looking at everything that's going on around us in the context and in the understanding that we have Satan on one side and we have God on the other. And in between is where we find ourselves. And understanding that everything that's taking place that is happening all around us has to do with this war that Satan has against God and his coming attempt at trying to prevent Jesus from his second coming at the Battle of Armageddon. Now, if we do that, then we look at what happened this week with the Supreme Court. And we see the Bostick versus Clayton County ruling that, and I'll let you do your own research on this, but basically their decision is going to create a tsunami of litigation. And that litigation is going to come against everything Christian. As they have redefined God's definition of sex, which is male and female, you are going to see some a great wave coming against the church, coming against church seminary, against the seminaries, education, daycares, anything. Well, anything and everything Christian. I mean, you can expect a tsunami of litigation, and knowing that. Most of the people that will have these lawsuits brought against them for not hiring a person based on their gender orientation or sexual orientation, whatever is going on, that, you know, what you're going to have is ongoing lawsuits that will basically decimate most small churches, most small business owners will be pretty much done. I mean, this is going to be huge. A huge event, and of course, most folks aren't even aware of it or even talking about it. Now, and I'm going to connect that to something else that's going on with all the things that are happening in our country right now. Believe me, it's not an accident that these things are happening. There are nations, there are organizations, there are people that want the absolute destruction of America. And we've lived in a blessed time, which we hadn't experienced anything like this, which most other countries have in their history. Well, we're now experiencing some of that. And one of the things that's happening, as you look at, think about overwhelming the structures, overwhelming things. So it's called the Cloward, C-L-O-W-A-R-D dash Priven, P-I-V-E-N strategy. And this is a strategy that was developed by the, you can say, the socialist in a way of bringing about significant change. You can connect this to Saul Alinsky and his Rules for Radicals and all his disciples that have come after him. And what you're seeing with what you're seeing with the Black Lives Matter movement. And, you know, I read this they, in one post. I think the police union said that as it stands right now, something like 71% of police officers are contemplating leaving the force. And that is the objective of this movement, is to create as much absolute chaos as it possibly can. And so they use this technique of overwhelming whatever it is they're going after. So if you want to overwhelm the police department, what do? You have crime go through the roof, which is what's happening in all these cities, New York, Seattle, everywhere you see these moves, you see it again. And of course, we're in North Carolina, in Raleigh, North Carolina. What's going on there now? So they're trying to overwhelm the system to the point where the system collapsed, so the structure collapsed. So they want the defunding of the police department. Why? So they can put people in their likeness in control, and they can dictate the terms of everything. And so this technique, this strategy is being used by the Black Lives Matter movement and then Antifa, and you can expect this same technique to be used now that the Supreme Court has given its ruling on Title VII in this latest ruling. So just be aware, just understand it. Everything that you see is moving us into a certain place. They're closing it in. They're narrowing the path on which we're going. Okay, understand that that's happening and be aware of that. So as we enter into our text today, understand where we are to look for guidance. Where and from whom are we to get our direction, so that we understand, as Jesus said in Matthew 24, how many times did he has to say deception, deceiving? It is the key in which we find ourselves today. There is a spirit of Antichrist consuming this land as the churches remain closed. There's a reason behind the churches being closed. And so you have to understand that as this is happening, we are experiencing a nationwide insanity as a result of the spirit of Antichrist that's moving across this land. And this past week, with the soldiers making their decision to redefine sex, we are experiencing just a out and out slap in the face to God. We have raised our fist directly into the face of God, defying him yet again. It is an abomination. And we're going to talk about that in this text today. But understand, we are to get our directions and understand the path on which we are on, and to evaluate everything we see and hear, especially in these times, through the lens of Scripture, through God's holy word, guided by the Holy Spirit. So let's get into our text today, which is Confidence Gained. And the full title is Compassion Demonstrated. So now we're going to go into the first section. This is chapter 3, again, 21 through 26. And it says, because God directs our path, he is able to protect our path. Okay? So in verse 21, my son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. And that is so key where we find ourselves today. All right. Do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. So wisdom, like we said at the very beginning, wisdom is something that is to be pursued and lived. We are constantly pursuing wisdom. Where do we get wisdom? from the Word. Keep your eyes on the prize of the wisdom of God. All right? To fully benefit from the treasures of wisdom, we're going to dig for it. All right? The treasures of wisdom and discretion, never let them out of your sight. And we look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Let me see where I got my notes. Here we go. And it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that it so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Okay, so again, who is our example? Christ Jesus. Never take your eye off of Jesus. He showed us what this looks like in his earthly ministry. And he reinforces that through his Holy Spirit and through our constantly digging into the Word of God, never letting them out of our sight. Verse 22, they will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. So life for you. Wisdom is associated with your spiritual life. If we're constantly in God's Word, seeking his wisdom and understanding and discernment, all these things are key to our spiritual life, especially now when we need the full armor. We need the full armor right now. All right, and then verse 23, grace to your neck. The second part of that says, the wisdom you have in God will adorn your life for all to see its beauty. Well, again, so as we keep this treasure before us, this wisdom, and we keep it around our neck, then others will see who in us as we live out this wisdom. Okay, verse 23, then you will go on your way in safety and your foot will not stumble. Then you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Afraid, living in God's wisdom provides the basis for the believer's peace of mind and removes the spirit of fear. So the more we're into, the more we keep our eyes on the prize, the more we're into God's Word, the more we're in touch with the Spirit, then the spirit of fear leaves us. Remember, the spirit of fear is not from God. So if you are fearful of something, it's not of God. Now, yes, he gives us the ability to understand that as situations arise, we are to evaluate and make a wise decision on those things. But we're not to do that in a spirit of fear. All right, so again, in verse 25, have no fear of sudden disaster or the ruin that overtakes the wicked. Disaster and ruin. The wisdom of God keeps us from stumbling over our own sins and evil behavior of those who oppose God. And right now, we have to be very aware that those that oppose God oppose us. All right. Now we need to be aware of that. So we may need to evaluate what others may be saying and doing based on God's Word. All right. So next we have B. It says godly wisdom aids the believer in avoiding the traps that lead to disaster and ruin. Okay. So again, staying in God's Word helps us understand and we can avoid those the disasters of sin and ruin. All right, verse 26, for the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared. Again, he has directs our path and he protects our path. All right, he is on our side. Our confidence emanates from the awareness that nothing matters more than God's presence in our lives. Nothing matters more than God's presence in our lives. We should face life's challenges and dangers confidently as long as we know God is with us. And that's Psalm 23:4, which says, Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, and your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So again, we have no fear. All right, let's go to the next section. Kindness expressed, Proverbs 3, 27 through 30, a positive relationship with others. And again, we do not have a race problem. We have a sin problem. We have the most, unfortunately, according to statistics, surveys done from various organizations, especially Barner, we have the most illiterate Christians ever. I think it's down to 4 to 5% actually have professing Christians actually have what the surveyors called a biblical worldview, just the basics of the Christian faith. Only 4 to 5%. So that means 95% of professing Christians do not have a biblical worldview. So where is their worldview coming from? Understand, Satan owns the media. Satan owns the government. Satan owns the pharmaceuticals. He owns it all, okay? And he's manipulating things to his favor because he's moving everything. You have to understand, everything that's happening is Satan moving things toward the establishment of, or the reestablishment of, Nimrod's Tower of Babel and the one world ruler and one world government that was established during those days. He's moving it back toward that. So everything is moving the whole world toward this one world government, one world religion, one world economic system. Mystery Babylon, okay? So we have to have a positive relationship with others. The reason we don't have that now in our nation is because we have lost the connection to the Word of God, and that starts first with us, the house of God. Judgments begins first with the house of God. So when you see, the only reason this stuff can happen is that we have fallen down on the job. Okay, that's just, now, you may not agree with that. You may think the church is doing a fabulous job, but I think we've fallen way down on that. Verse 27, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you, when you already have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse anyone for no reason when they have done you no harm. That last one's pretty critical, because what you see happening right now is we're moving, this whole manipulation is moving us to where you are accusing others of something that there's no reason for. So you got one whole group accusing folks that were not alive when stuff was happening. And all these things, you have to understand. Social justice, reparations, all of these words are communist words. They have been used in other countries to bring about a toppling of government, to destroy the Christian church in other nations, to weaken them and make them irrelevant. There's nothing happening behind the scenes is not being guided and directed to move us to a certain place. All right. So, and this is what it says. Of course, it uses, gives us a description of an employer-employee relationship where, all right, someone has done work or service, provided the service, he's completed it, and then I withhold the funds, even though I've got them. I put them off. And we do this all the time. We do, especially if you're a business owner, so you manipulate. You're trying to do your best to, especially if you're tight on the monies and the resources to pay. You know, you're trying to keep everybody satisfied at the same time. And you oftentimes you do things that are not according to the scripture here. Do not excuse anyone. All right, it says wise Christians do their best to avoid unnecessary disagreements in Romans 12:18, which we've used recently in our study in Romans. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Okay? Live at peace with everyone. Do your best to do that. All right, wise Christians truly love God and our neighbor as we would want them to love us. And one of the things, it's just like doing work. If when I finish my shift, I'm not going to leave things in a bad spot for the next shift. I'm going to leave things like I would want them left, so that I, you know, all these little things are completed and done, so that then when the next shift comes in, they find everything in order and they are ready to do their shift without having to come back and redo something else. It's done for them. And in everything we do, we should be that way. We want to leave things as we would love to have it. All right, so wise Christians truly love God and our neighbor. That's anyone God has put in front of you, all right, as we would want them to love us. All right, now, a bad neighbor and a good neighbor. So what proverb teaches about neighbors? And you can go back and hit on these scriptures and do some deeper study. Bad neighbors betray their neighbor's trust. That's in 3:29. All right, bad neighbors say bad things about their neighbors. Bad neighbors try to entice their neighbors to sin. That's a biggie. Bad neighbors are inconsiderate of their neighbors. Bad neighbors lie to their neighbors. Bad neighbors are loud and obnoxious neighbors. All right, now we have to think about, okay, I'm a neighbor to somebody. Am I falling short in some area here based on what I just read? Then we correct those things, right? All right, next, Proverbs 31 through 35, blessings secured. Do not envy the violent or choose any of their ways. Sometimes the law keepers wish to be the lawbreakers, the oppressors rather than the oppressed. All right? That happens, and we have to be aware of that. And it says, do not, again, envy. Where does envy come up in the Bible? How about the Ten Commandments? All right, so there we have it. All right, verse 32, for the Lord detests the perverse, but takes the upright into his confidence. Okay, so detest or an abomination, an attitude or act, or you can put in the perverse stuff here, abomination, an attitude or act that is incompatible with God's nature and is intolerable to him, leading to his anger and judgment. All right, so this is serious stuff. For the Lord detests the perverse, but takes the upright into his confidence. Okay, verse 33. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. So the Lord will guide us in letting our light shine and his love show, so that we will have influence where we are. All right, so again, the Lord will guide us. He's going to use us. He's going to use us as his instrument to bring about change in our communities because of the light that is in us. All right, so 34, he mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. Luke 14:11, for all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Okay, so I think that's pretty clear. And I think one of the challenges we've got is, and I did a blog post years ago on this about whether the church will actually humble itself and repent of its sins. There's so much going on right now that the major leadership in the largest Protestant organization in the world is in my do your own research, okay? But there's some really bad things happening. If your church is still a member of the Southern Baptist Convention, you need to do some digging into what's taking place, because it is not, and it's not something that we want to follow. It's leading us in a path of irrelevancy, just like most of the other denominations that have gone down this same path. All right, so verse 35, the wise inherit honor, but fools get only shame. So honor the Lord will make sure that those who embrace his wisdom will inherit a place of honor and an honorable reputation. Shame, disgrace for those foolish that reject him. They will pay the just penalty of their choice. Okay? So we can secure our blessing is secured as we walk in God's wisdom and as we look to Jesus Christ as the wisdom that God brought to us in flesh so that we could see through his life, his example, and how we are to live on this journey through this foreign land. Remember, this is not our home, so it's a foreign land. So, but we've got a lot of work to do. He told us to occupy until he comes. I don't know when he's coming, but we need to occupy. Especially now I'm telling you folks, if you can't sense the spirit of Antichrist over this nation right now, then you're missing something. Because there, you can't look at what's going on in our country right now and say that that's normal. There's an insanity. There's a depraved mind going on. The things that are happening in our culture right now are, I won't even mention them on this study, but it is horrific where we as a people, as a nation, and as a culture have descended. It is rapid. I told years ago when the Obergefell decision came through in 2015, I said, as a result of that decision, and you will not recognize the United States of America in 5 years. And here we are, 5 years. And I can tell you, from 2015 to now, you talk about the change in this country, the spirit of Antichrist, the level of demonic worship that's taking place, the New Age movement, even among our church, all of these things that are taking place right now is a direct result of opening the door, opening a gateway for Satan to enter in. And this last ruling by the Supreme Court is going to be far worse. The floodgates have been opened. And folks, we have to be in fervent prayer for our people, our nation, because this is it. This is it. This is an all-out assault right now taking place, not only in this country, but around the world. The events that are taking place around the world are dark. And folks, we have to understand the times that we are in, and we need to be ready. For our work is not done. There is still a harvest to be made. So let us be the light. Let us be the salt. Let us be what God has called us to be, servants to him and him alone. May we seek his wisdom and understanding each and every day. May we fill ourselves daily with his word and his wisdom. We cannot neglect at this day and this hour in which we find ourselves, we cannot neglect being in and studying, meditating, and praying upon the word of God. If you and your significant, your wife, your husband, your family are not praying together, you need to do that. Wherever two or more are gathered, all right, the power of two people praying is greater than the one. We have to do everything we can to increase the power of our prayers and supplications to the Lord, because this is the hour in which we find ourselves. And we cannot depend on government. We cannot depend on a president. We cannot depend on a group of unelected judges to bring change into this nation. They are doing nothing that is Christ-like and nothing that is in line with his word. And we have to understand that. So the church, us, me, we need to be about God's business now more than ever. Now more than ever. Remember, the Lord will bless our homes. All right. And he will continue to bless us, and he will protect us, and he will guide us through these darkest of hours. He is on the journey with us. He never leaves nor forsakes us. Just remember these things and do not walk in a spirit of fear, but you are a conqueror in Christ Jesus. The victory is won. He has defeated the devil, and we need to know that and understand that and live like that, okay? We are not defeated. We have a power unimaginable to anyone that has not experienced Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We have His strength in us, His Spirit. Okay, folks, let's close with a word of prayer. And as always, let's do the summary. God offers His peace to those who trust Him. God expects His people to treat others with kindness. Amen. God blesses those who know Him. And as always, beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health just as your soul prospers. And let's have our closing word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you have unfolded to us your wisdom, not only in the word, but also in the life of Jesus Christ. The word became flesh and dwelt among us. Lord, that we could see through his life and his example how we are to navigate this journey that we find ourselves. Lord, it is your wisdom that should guide us in each and everything, and it is your wisdom that will open our eyes and our hearts to the things that are happening around us that we may not be deceived. For in these days that we find ourselves, deception is key. Everything that we see and hear must be tested against the word of God and be guided by our conscience and the Holy Spirit that indwells us. Satan is all in. He is not backing down. He knows his days are numbered. The intensity of his work has increased. His dominion is pulling together right now to come against your church and your people. That is his goal, to destroy your church and your people. Lord, we just pray that you will open our hearts and minds to be able to discern in these challenging days in which we find ourselves. Well, media in all forms is owned and controlled by Satan and his workers. Lord, we need to understand that. And we need to look through the lens of Scripture and through your wisdom and in our ability to discern the things that are taking place around us. We should not trust anything that comes through our media services right now. We need to be totally dependent upon your word and your spirit guiding and directing us. Lord, if it does not line up with your word, we are to reject it. Lord, I just thank you that you have given us the strength and courage to face the days ahead. Lord, and I just pray that you'll have a hedge of protection around us in these coming days as we go down this path together. Lord, help us to be the people that you have called us to be. Help us to be the salt and the light that you want us to be in our communities, in our workplaces, in our churches. And Lord, we just give you all the praise and glory. For you are worthy. You are the Creator God, the Almighty, the Father, our Father that is in heaven. Lord, we just thank you that you have been so gracious to us and that your mercies are new every morning and that you've extended your love to us through your Son, Jesus Christ, and his finished work on the cross and his resurrection, that he has ascended to the right hand of power. And we know that he is soon to return in all of that power. For he is the victor, and we are victors with him in this struggle. Lord, we just give you the praise and honor, and we ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you, folks. See you again soon.